Hey there, it's Stacey Pearsall, former combat photographer and founder of the Veterans Portrait Project. You're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with the one and only Sharky James. Enjoy.
We'd like to thank Audible.com for supporting the Petapixel Photography Podcast. To claim your free 30-day trial, go to audible.com/petapixel. That's audible.com/petapixel. Thank you, and thank you, Audible. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, Episode 41, How Not to Look Creepy Taking Photos in Public. In this episode, a photo of a potato goes for a hefty sum, Fujifilm hikes film prices worldwide, Corbis Images is sold to a Chinese company, sparking displeasure, we have a cheap way to protect your lenses after you enjoy some ice cream, and listener Sandro in Portugal wants to know how not to look like he's up to no good while practicing his street photography. All that and more in episode 41 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. You know, it's a real treat to have Stacey Pearsall open today's show, and I thank her so much for her service and for doing the show opener. Stacey is the real deal. You know, as a combat photographer, she risked her life and witnessed some pretty difficult things to see and experience. So I thank her for her bravery and managing to do an incredible job under some extremely tough circumstances. While recovering from combat injuries suffered in Iraq, she used her incredible skills in photography to honor and thank her fellow veterans. And you can check out this incredible body of work by visiting the Veterans Portrait Project at veteransportraitproject.com. Her images of those who fought for their country proudly are quite amazing, and I think you should all check it out. And I'd like to thank you for joining us here in episode 41 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. We also appreciate you telling your friends as well. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. A couple of months ago, my family and I moved from beautiful Utah to Idaho. Yes, the potato state. It's awesome here, by the way. You know, it's a hidden gem. You wouldn't think it is, but it is. But here in the United States, Idaho is known just for potatoes. There isn't even a number two. In most other states, you can name a half dozen or more things. Not with Idaho. It's just potatoes. And I'm kicking myself because I didn't corner the market for potato photography.
What the heck are you talking about, Sharky?
Patience. I'm getting to it, bro. Well, last year, a simple photo of a potato shot on a black background sold for, get this, over $1 million. Yep, drop the mic. The photo, titled Potato Number 345, 2010, is by photographer Kevin Abash, who charges huge fees to shoot portraits of famous people in the Silicon Valley tech industry. Now, according to Business Insider, the photographer's, quote, iconic black backdrop, end quote, portraits are apparently a status symbol among the upper echelon of the business and entertainment industry. They pay over $150,000 US for a photo shoot with him and upwards of $500,000 if they're used commercially. That is just amazing. And as successful as he's been with portraiture, he also does fine art photography as well. Thus, the potato. His studio tells us at Petapixel, quote, Kevin likes potatoes because they, like people, are all different, yet immediately identifiable as being essentially of the same species. He has photographed many potatoes. This one is one of his favorites, end quote. Okay, I don't think I've ever photographed a potato before. Have you? But maybe that needs to change. What I want to know, though, is do mashed potatoes count? And how about fries? Maybe not. So how this sale came about is a very wealthy buyer who collects Abash's work was visiting the photographer's home in Paris in 2015. They saw the photo, a 162 by 162 centimeter print, mounted on die bond and just had to have it in their personal collection. The price, it is said, was non-negotiable. The photographer wanted 1 million euros for it, and that's about $1,083,000 US currently. The buyer agreed to pay the price and purchased the photo, making it Abash's largest single image sale. And this is from a guy who's making a lot of bucks selling photography. But as nice as that was, it's eclipsed, of course, by Peter Lick's phantom photo that went for $6.5 million. It does, however, place it in the top 20 of the most expensive photos of all time, and is almost the exact same price that was paid for Edward Weston's Nautilus 1927, which was sold at Sotheby's New York auction in April of 2010. A photo which is one of the most famous photos of all time. Yet it went for about the same price as this potato photo. I don't get how that happens, personally. I'm thinking that's gotta up the price of Weston's photo, right? I mean, it's gotta. Edward Weston was huge. Everyone knows this photo. At one time or another, you have seen it. Trust me on this. You know, all this talk about potatoes, though, is making me tired. Carbs are my enemy, I tell you. You're the photographer in the house, aren't you? You're the one taking the photo at family gatherings, and often, you're not in the photos yourself. Because that's a pain. I mean, for one, a tripod would be helpful, and we all know how unwieldy those things are. It's probably staying in the closet. So once in a while, you dig through the closet and you bust that beast out, you know, so the kids can remember dad. But these days, there are a number of options to make sure that this goes off fairly smoothly. But decades ago, it could be a bit challenging, especially if your family members were a good distance away from the camera. You know, you set up the camera, you get everyone in position, you set your timer, hopefully to at least 10 seconds or so, and you make a mad dash for your position, smile, and try not to look like you just jumped into the frame, because you did. Now do this a few times, and you can introduce our friend Sweat to the equation. So now you look like you just ran a marathon and are about to pass out as your family remains nice and relaxed looking for the family photo. And then you pray that hopefully one of the first frames is the keeper, or it's obvious who actually took the picture. Even worse, but definitely funnier, is when the photographer never quite makes it in a position. And we've all seen these photos online. They're hilarious. But one surfaced online this week that you must see. You just must. It's gold. So a Reddit user named Molly posted a photo of her dad not quite making it into position, and it is awesome. She tells us at Petapixel, quote, "My dad was likely counting down in his head as he sprinted, realized he wasn't going to quite make it. It was definitely a decent-sized pond, so he just grinned at the camera mid-stride. The best, or maybe worst, part is, I doubt he counted out loud. So not everyone in the group is even looking at the camera." End quote. These days, of course, we can often set the timer in our cameras to just about any length of time we want. We could use remote triggers like Pocket Wizards or any other brand to take the shot when we want or engage the timer at that point. Or we can use an app on our phone and make the exposure using Wi-Fi between the phone and the camera. You know, options, and options are good. But he didn't have that back in the day of this photo. If Molly's dad had those options available, we wouldn't have this really funny photo, which you could see by hitting the show notes for episode 41 at petapixel.com/podcast. It's special. There's just something about this photo that made me smile. You know, if the reason why you're the photographer of the family was because dad was, check out this photo, find some old family photos with dad in it, and maybe give him a call. He's not going to be around forever, of course. And if he's already gone, I'm sorry for your loss. Check out this photo and imagine having a fun one like that with him in it. And if you have one, I'd love to see it. For me, one of the best things out of Canon in 2015 was, well, I'm not going to say the selfie camera, of course, because that was a complete swing and a miss. No one is saying that's their favorite. But what's my favorite is the first installment of their The Lab series. And this was specifically coming out of Canon Australia. You'll recall that in that cool experiment, they took six photographers and each told them a different story about a man. And it was really cool to see how what they were told affected their approach. And I wish they would do more of that particular experiment because that was really, really compelling. In the second installment in this series, another six photographers were asked to shoot photos of the same object with no repeats. That one, I didn't like so much. Didn't like it at all, actually. Well, now Canon Australia has gathered six more photographers, put them in a studio with no subject and no props, and instructions to not take any selfies. What they ended up doing was photographing their shadows, items in their pockets, and one photographer took everything off but his underwear and photographed his clothing while tossing his shoes into the air. Okay, that guy is my hero. You know, he went all in. Well, almost all in. Had he done the full Monty? I don't know. I might be changing my answer here. You know, respect. But yeah, gotta draw a line somewhere, brother. This experiment, titled Blank, Creating Something from Nothing, got mixed reactions on Petapixel, with 54% liking it and the others thinking that it was a complete failure. Now, unlike the one with the man and the six different stories they were told about him, I think it'd be okay to pass on looking this one up. But photo projects in general are a good thing, especially if it's something that gets you to think in a different way. You know, are you really going to grow as a photographer if you shoot the same darn thing all the time? No. No, you're not. Now, you might get better at what you're doing, but I believe it's important to stretch. Challenge yourself to grow as a photographer, and you may just surprise yourself. If you're not only a fan of photography, but Häagen-Dazs ice cream as well, you're going to really enjoy this story, especially if you're in need of a lens cap. Perhaps I should explain, right? Well, apparently a photographer in Japan was eating some ice cream one day, and in a moment of inspiration, checked to see if the lid would fit their lens. And sure enough, it did. I hope they at least rinsed it first, though, right? Because you know that there's that extra bit of ice cream that's always stuck on the underside of the lid. Everyone forgets about it, and it's like, oh, one more bite. It's like it's hiding from you or something. But yeah, imagine forgetting about that and putting the lid on your lens. No bueno. You know, clean up in aisle 12. Except for aisle 12 is the front of your lens. And yeah, getting ice cream off your lens, probably not a fun task, I'm thinking. So if you like ice cream and you're in need of a cheap lens cap and you want to give this a shot, check and see if your lens takes a 72mm size filter thread, and it might just fit. Now, I can never remember if mine is 72 or 77. If you have a 24 to 70-28 or a 70 to 200-28, it's likely a 77mm thread. Now, without searching online or thumbing through the manual, check the front of your lens first, where 9 times out of 10, you're going to see a circle with a line through it. That number next to it is your filter thread size. A lot of people right now are like, whoa, that's what that number is. Now you know. If it says 72, you've now got yourself a new lens cap that's waiting for you in the freezer section of your local grocery store. Now your biggest decision is which flavor to choose. But before you pop this on your lens, don't forget that little extra bit that's hiding under the lid. That would not be good. I'm not responsible if you get ice cream on your lens, so make sure you run it under the faucet a little bit and dry it off properly, okay? Now, since we're talking about lens caps, here's a tip that is going to save you some money. Because I like to save you guys money after the thousands of dollars in gear I talk about here on the show. What I want you to do is to consider not buying your brand's replacement lens caps and lens hoods. Seriously, you could spend $15 for a 77mm lens cap from Canon, or an off-brand for just $5. That's $10 right there that you can save. Same with lens hoods. $47 for Nikon's lens hood for their 70-200-28, or $13 for the one from Photodiox. You know, it's just plastic. It's not a critical part of the equation, and I don't see how the branded versions from Canon, Nikon, Sony, etc. keep the light out, protect the front lens element any better than the ones from Photodiox or any of the other third-party brands out there. And I've purchased them myself. I put my money where my mouth is. They work just fine. And in a lot of cases, they actually work better than the ones from the manufacturers. They actually stay on your lens and don't pop off so easily. And if you're having that problem anyways, you know what I'm going to say. Gaffer tape. Gaffer tape fixes everything but a broken heart. Seriously. You know, do you need the word Nikon on your lens cap? No one is going to see that anyhow but you. It's just a lens cap. Well, unless you forget to take it off. And I've done that before too, even as a photojournalist. And that's quite embarrassing. But I'm going to admit it. We all do it. You know, if you're going to embarrass yourself, at least have the pleasure of knowing that you saved yourself $10. And with these third-party lens caps, they don't usually have writing on the front. Instead of Nikon or Canon, and it makes it obvious you've got your lens cap on, having it nice and black, that actually has a benefit, I think. That's definitely worth the $5. Hey, you can get 3 lens caps for what it costs to get a Canon or Nikon one, pretty much. Save yourself the money, and with that extra $10, maybe use it for gas. Go drive someplace where you can take better pictures. How's that for an idea? Before we get to the next story, I'd like to quickly thank Audible.com once again for supporting this podcast. You know, you guys all know Audible.com, of course. They're a leading provider of audiobooks with a staggering 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. You know, we all love podcasts, of course. You're listening to one right now, right? And audiobooks are another fun way to make time go faster, whether you're commuting, you're at the gym, or you're editing your photos. You know, the folks at Audible love our show, and they're offering our listeners a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is go on over to audible.com/petapixel and check out the over 180,000 titles available. And you know what? It is ridiculously easy, too, especially if you have an Amazon account, because they're owned by Amazon. You just put in your login information, start searching for titles, and then download and start listening. Easy as that. Now, an audiobook I'm reading right now, well, I guess it's listening, right, is The Martian by Andy Weir. You know, I love the movie with Matt Damon, and the book, of course, goes a whole lot deeper than that. So if you like the movie, I think you're going to like this book. It is compelling, and it gets 4.8 out of 5 stars, closing in on nearly 100,000 ratings. Personally, I give it 5 stars, but I'm a space nerd, and this book just hits the spot for me. So to help show your support for this podcast and get your free 30-day trial, go to audible.com/petapixel. That's audible.com/petapixel. Thank you, and thank you, Audible. Thanks in part to support from Hollywood, Kodak's film business may turn a profit this year. May. We'll see. But as digital continues to become ubiquitous, film languishes. And now we've learned that Fujifilm is hiking its prices on its film lines worldwide. Fuji says, quote, "The price increases are substantial, and it would be an increase of at least a double digit, but will vary depending on products, markets, and regions," end quote. These price increases roll out, pun intended, this month, January 2016, and covers their color negative film, color reversal film, black and white film, as well as their quick snap disposable cameras. The company goes on to say, quote, "The demand for film products is continuously decreasing, and the cost of production, such as raw materials, stays at a high level, and cost increase associated with lower volumes becomes much serious. Under such circumstances, despite our effort to maintain the product cost, Fujifilm is unable to absorb these costs during their production process and is forced to pass on price increases. To sustain its photo imaging business, Fujifilm has decided to increase the price of its photographic films," end quote. Now, are you as confused as I am right now? Let me break this down. Fujifilm says that demand for film is continuously decreasing. That was their words. They didn't say their film, they said film. Now, maybe they misspoke, and I don't know what the numbers are for film at the moment, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if film use is down, just as Fuji says. What are the chances that people are using Kodak film and shunning Fuji? I don't know. So why then is Kodak so enthusiastic about its film business? You know, in my opinion, there just aren't enough movies being made in Hollywood to save the film business. I could be wrong, and hey, it's been known to happen before, but I just don't see it. Film may not be dead, but it is on serious life support, and that is reality. Fujifilm is jacking up prices by 10% because demand is down, and somehow Kodak thinks that reimagining the 8mm movie film camera and other things is what people want. You know, I've asked a crap ton of people if the new 8mm movie film camera excites them, and I think you know what the reaction was. They just don't get it, and neither do I. So I just don't see it. You know, some people love their film, and that's cool, but Fujifilm, they're dealing with reality here. That's just how it is. I had no idea that billionaire Bill Gates of Microsoft fame had anything to do with photography. Did you? I didn't. But he owned one of the world's largest photo collections, Corbis Images. I say owned because he just sold off the company's images business to Visual China Group. That's right, the same Visual China Group that led the $13 million investment in 500px back in 2015. I say back in 2015 like it was that long ago. 2015 was 3 weeks ago as I record this. But you get the idea. VCG clearly has quite a bit of money available to them, and they're serious about their dominance in the worldwide photo industry. No doubt about it. According to VCG CEO Amy June Liang, quote, "Corbis is a world-leading and widely esteemed brand in the image industry, and we are thrilled to add this treasure house of valuable assets to our premium brand portfolios. The transaction strengthens our dominant position in China's image industry, enhances our core competence in the global high-end image market, and marks a significant milestone on our journey of globalization," end quote. Corbis Images collection consists of over 100 million photos and 800,000 videos. So with this acquisition, they gain an amazing amount of content, and that includes some of the most famous and significant images made from the 1800s on through to today. VCG was founded back in 2000, becoming the first company in China to license photos through a proprietary online service, and now has over 600 employees. Now, financial details of this sale were not announced, but you can bet that it was a very large sum of money. And of course, anytime there's a sale of valuable content to an overseas entity, people are going to have a problem with that. But there are some photographers who have a problem with it for an entirely different reason. One photographer told us at Petapixel, quote, "The downfall for some contributing photographers like myself is that they own Demotix.com, which positioned itself as breaking news stock photography. When many of us went to Demotix.com, the site redirects to Corbis. Demotix appears to be gone. So as of now, there are many photographers who are owed money, can't access their images, and don't know the fate of their catalog on Corbis," end quote. For those who don't know, Demotix billed itself as, quote, "the freelance photojournalist network," end quote. And according to its Twitter page, claims 50,000 contributors in some 190 countries. So we're going to see how things shake out for photographers now that this sale has transpired. You know, you'd think they'd put up a page explaining what this means to its contributing photographers. Nope. Today's listener question comes from Sandro in Portugal, who sent in his question via our voicemail widget.
Hey Sharky, this is Sandro from Portugal. I have a small question for you. On the past years, I was a nature photographer, events photographer, and I decided, I really like photography, but it's a hobby for me. So I don't want to make money out of it. I just really want to have fun. So I ditch all my equipment, all my big camera and lenses and flashes, etc. And I just bought a very little small Fuji X30 camera just to do street photography. That's the thing that I really like to do. Well, I realized that I'm almost died with afraid of doing street photography. I'm walking in the street at this moment with my little camera on the hand, and people look at me very weird. And some of them actually look very fretful. So my question is, how do you actually overcome that afraid of being in the street and snapping pictures of people and acting like a pro? Because when I did that before with my big camera, there wasn't a problem. People look at me, they noticed the big camera, and wasn't really any problem. I just did my work, and that was fine. Now with this little camera, it looks like that maybe I'm stalking somebody, because it's very discreet and everything. So how can I solve this little mental problem that I have? Okay, Sharky, thank you. That's a really nice show. I really enjoy listening to it. Well, at this moment, in the middle of the street, that's nice. Okay, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for your question, Sandro. I greatly appreciate it, brother. All right, so you've got a street photography question, and you recorded it out on the street. I love that. I'm really happy that you took the time to send in this question, because this is an issue that I think most of us would have a difficult time with. People generally are going to be caught off guard when they discover that their photo has been taken. You know, some are going to actually feel violated. And for them, that's a real emotion. And hey, some might even give you trouble over this. They might even call the police. I don't know. So long as you're photographing people who don't know that you're photographing them, you're likely to get weird looks no matter what kind of camera that you're carrying. It's just the name of the game. But you're right, the use of a smaller, more discreet camera is often equated with being more consumer and thus not serious. Because conversely, if you have an expensive camera around your neck, you must be a pro, right? No. It just means that you have enough money for a pricey camera. So what do you do? Well, Sandro, I have a couple of ideas for you. And this is along the lines of what Michael A. Anderson asked me back in episode 37. And that is it better to ask for forgiveness or for permission? My first idea is the latter. My second idea, the former. All right, let's take a second to figure that all out. Never mind. Let's just move on. I think that as an experiment, the next time you practice street photography, I'd like for you to approach your subjects first and ask them for their permission. With a smile, introduce yourself, tell them that you're a photographer and you would love to make some photographs of them, and ask them if that's okay. They're going to appreciate that you asked them. Tell them you'd be happy to email them some photos. They could use them on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. You know, free photos that aren't selfies? You bet a lot of people are going to bite at that, right? Even better, though, get some business cards made with your contact information on it. People are going to be more likely to see you as being more serious about your photography, and since you're giving them your information, you'll be seen as being more open and not trying to hide anything. So now that you've approached them, offered them something for free, and told them how to contact you, those are all good things in their mind. And if they decline, smile, thank them for their time, and just move along. Now, you may not make photographs of them, but the interaction is going to help build your confidence as you approach people and tell them about what you enjoy doing. As a former photojournalist, approaching people was really tough at first, you know, especially because I was telling them that I had already photographed them and I now needed their information for my captions. You know, it's a weird thing for people. Oh, you took my photo and now you want my info? Well, what if I don't want my info in the paper? So sometimes it could be a bit of a hassle. I think that asking them ahead of time if you can take their photo would be a good thing. And it's not like you're asking them for their information. You just want to take a photo. All right, Sandro, so that's my first idea. Approach people and gain more confidence photographing people in public who know that you're photographing them. You know, shoot some posed photos of them, get their info and or hand them your card at that time, and then ask them if they wouldn't mind you walking off a little bit and photographing them candidly. You can tell them you don't want it to look so posed, and they're going to understand that. That's going to make a lot of sense to them. Now, my second idea for you involves a little bit of theatrics. Find yourself a cheap or perhaps broken larger camera on eBay or somewhere else, slap on a cheap lens, and have that hanging off of you. You're going to look more like what they think a photographer looks like, and that should make them feel more at ease. Even if you take pictures with your smaller camera, they're going to see the bigger camera, and it's all the same to them at that point. You know, sure, it's a little bit of a trick, but street photography is a legitimate, classic genre of photography. And so long as it's legal in your country, don't at all feel badly about practicing it. You're not stealing their soul by taking their photo. You're recording what your eyes and everyone else's eyes can see. Now, if they're doing something embarrassing, then that's a different story. You can make a case against it, of course. So having a larger camera with you, or even a sizable but empty camera bag, could accomplish this for you. And hey, if you want to go all the way with this, get yourself a photography vest. Search secondhand stores and you may be able to find a fisherman's vest, which is close enough to get the job done. That just screams photographer. You know, it says, look at me, I'm a photographer. I took your picture because that's what I do. If someone gives you a hard time after they've noticed you making photos of them while you're dressed to look more like a photographer, which you are, remember, smile, approach them, and give them the free photos pitch. Definitely don't get out of there and look like you did something wrong. You want to approach them and be as friendly as possible and disarm the situation. And if they don't like it, just move along. You've already taken their photo, right? Now, if neither of these options sound good to you, work on shooting from the hip. It's a classic technique which takes a lot of practice, but but this is how the masters have done it for many decades. Now, the downside, of course, is nothing says he's up to no good like seeing someone clearly taking photos on the sly like that. A guy with a camera to his eye isn't being sneaky about it. You know, it looks legit. But a guy with a camera down at waist level snapping away, most people are going to interpret that in a way which isn't going to help your cause at all. You know, you're wanting to feel better about what you're doing and gain confidence, right? So I'd caution against using that approach right now. This is one you want to break out if you really need to be on the sly, or if you just simply don't care anymore if anyone notices. And remember, if you shoot from the hip, you don't just have to worry about your subject seeing you do this. There's all the passersby that could be watching as well. So yeah, not ideal. You don't need that right now. I say ask permission, get it, and then get some candids and see if that works out for you in the meantime. Then maybe advance to looking more like a serious photographer in your subject's eyes and see if you can get some candids that way. If they notice you, you look like a photographer. That's a lot better than just being a man on a street with a camera, I think. Either way, though, I would get some cheap business cards together, run through some scenarios in your head so you know exactly what you're going to say when you're approached, and just do the best job that you can to be friendly and not look like you're up to no good. So thank you so much for your question, Sandro. And after you've tried some of this stuff out, please send in another voicemail and let us know how it went, okay? You know, many thousands of people are listening to this right now and they're cheering you on, brother. So go out there, make some amazing images, and be confident because you're not doing anything wrong. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 41 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, where I just topped 10,000 followers, or Facebook, where I'm LensShark. That's LENSSHARK. And don't forget to claim your free audiobook over at audible.com/petapixel and let Audible know that they made a great decision sponsoring this podcast. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 42. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.